Program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, June 19th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I am coming to you live and direct from what I am now calling Margarita Studios here in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Three Palms Spa Resort Hotel, where I have been stranded now since Friday. It's kind of a strange situation. I flew out here in advance of the FNAs, who are on tour or supposed to be on tour, and we were supposed to do some gigs here in the Phoenix area. The long story short of it is the bus that we bought was a lemon. We got ripped off. It's not mechanically feasible. So we are trading that in, getting some money for that, and looking at a new bus that we hope will be more reliable. The plan here is for the FNAs to come through, we hope, late Thursday, early Friday on our way to Orange County, California, where we have a gig scheduled for Orange County Normal in Santa Ana. That's this Friday. We shall see what happens. Also, should we make it to Santa Ana on Friday, we're going to be at the Bay Area Cannabis Cup. That's right. I thought I was going to miss this one for the first time, but the Bay Area Medical Cannabis Cup, since we had some dates open up, we are going to see if we can make it there on Saturday and Sunday at Richmond, California at the Craneway Pavilion. So check out medcancup.com for more details on that. We hope to be entering some sort of partnership here with High Times Magazine as well. We are bound and determined to make this effing normal tour happen. It's just we got some roadblocks thrown in our way, but we'll overcome those like we always do. You know our theme here. We're doing it live. Also, on today's show, it's all about the moms on today's show. We have our regular Listen to Your Mother segment that we're going to get to at half past. And today's guest is Stacy Tice. She is with the Cannabus. We talked to some of the Cannabus people earlier this year around February. We'll see how they're doing on their tour. Sounds like their bus runs. So lucky for them. Also at 45 past, when we get to the Radical Rant section, we're going to show some videos from Cheryl Schumann, our good friend, and January Thomas, aka Mrs. Hemp. They've been on the news lately in the Los Angeles area, classing it up as far as marijuana consumers and mothers go. We got your Daily Toker Tunes, Ivy Wednesday with Brian the Red. We've got some behind the headlines. The Wall Street Journal has noticed the Box Canyon, and the regular 420 radio news, all coming up next here on the Russ Belville Show. The voice of the marijuana nation. Now it's time for your 420 radio news for Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Colorado marijuana dispensary owner and 11 others indicted on 71 charges. This from the Denver Post. A Colorado grand jury has indicted 12 people on allegations that they ran a medical marijuana dispensary as a front for both an investment scam and an illegal marijuana growing operation. According to the indictment, 34-year-old Conley Hoskins owns three dispensaries, Jane Medicals and Higher Health Medical in Denver, and All Care Wellness Centers in Lakewood. All three dispensaries are shown as operating under pending license applications on a list of current dispensaries provided last month to the Denver Post. The indictment alleges that Hoskins and Dirkmott, a partner, with the help of others, schemed to solicit investments in the dispensaries, then diverted the money into other uses, such as paying off personal debts or debts from other businesses. In addition, the indictment alleges that Hoskins conspired with a marijuana grower to set up an illegal marijuana cultivation operation in the basement of a house in Windsor. According to the indictment, the grower, who is not charged in the indictment, ultimately grew 10 to 20 pounds of marijuana for Hoskins. According to the indictment, Hoskins teamed with another grower, 31-year-old Nathan Newman, to grow marijuana illegally in the basement of a house in Brighton. Marijuana from the illegal operations was taken to Jane Medicals, where employees sold it to both legal medical marijuana patients and to people who weren't medical marijuana patients, according to the indictment. The indictment also charges a doctor, 34-year-old Gerald Searle, another childhood friend of Hoskins, with having an unlawful relationship with a dispensary. Colorado law prohibits doctors from receiving anything of value from dispensaries. According to the indictment, Hoskins paid the rent on Searle's medical office in exchange for Searle writing medical marijuana recommendations to patients and referring them to Hoskins' dispensary, which was around the corner. Industrial hemp's future as a crop in Colorado awaits federal action from the Steamboat pilot today. If industrial hemp can grow on the plains of Manitoba, it can grow in semi-arid northwest Colorado, Andrea Herman said Tuesday. Herman is recognized as one of the foremost experts in North America on the cultivation of industrial hemp for its valued fiber and oil, and she will be teaching a groundbreaking e-course on the subject at Oregon State University this fall. Steamboat Springs receives an average of 24.5 inches of precipitation, and Hayden, with a milder climate, receives 18.6 inches annually. The research done at Oregon State in 2008 suggested hemp thrives in climates with at least 25 to 30 inches of water, fertile loam soils, and extended growing seasons. Farmers Union spokesman Mick McAllister said Tuesday the biggest barrier to reviving industrial hemp as a cash crop in Colorado isn't the amount of available annual moisture, but the continuing federal ban on the plant. Department of Justice urged to avoid pot showdown with the state from the Seattle Times. Seven congressional Democrats from Washington are pressuring the U.S. Department of Justice to honor the state's new recreational marijuana law, the delegation's first collective public statement on the issue. In a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder released Tuesday, the Democrats urged quick action by the agency to assure pot users and sellers that they won't, quote, be penalized by the federal government for activities legal under state law, end quote. The letter also said state regular, the letter also said state regulators were working to keep tight reins on the pot market, including preventing marijuana exports and black markets. Marijuana advocate rolling his way to the White House from CBS Detroit. A local man said he is rolling to the White House. Curtis Kyle left his home in Taylor on Friday and hopes to make it to Washington, D.C. to talk with lawmakers about legalizing marijuana. Kyle has cerebral palsy and has used his wheelchair his whole life. He's mostly using back roads for the trips and is hoping to travel about 40 miles each day. His father, who recently passed away, was also a marijuana advocate. He walked from his home in Taylor to the White House in 1978, said Kyle, so I'm doing this in his honor, end quote. Miley Cyrus says, I think alcohol is way more dangerous than marijuana, from today.com. A few years ago, Miley Cyrus learned firsthand the perils of unguarded moments in the digital age when video surfaced of her using a bong, supposedly to smoke a legal substance called salvia, an incident she later spoofed on Saturday Night Live. While the pop singer doesn't exactly cop to smoking pot in a new interview with Rolling Stone's Rob Tannenbaum, she doesn't deny it either. Quote, I did a song with Snoop Dogg called Ashtrays and Heartbreaks, so people can put it together for themselves, Cyrus says. I think alcohol is way more dangerous than marijuana. People can be mad at me for saying that, but I don't care. I've seen a lot of people spiral down with alcohol, but I've never seen that happen with weed. Marijuana users tend to be more laid back, end quote, said Cyrus. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines with the Wall Street Journal and a look at the Box Canyon of medical marijuana. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
We're going back to San Francisco.
That's right, everyone. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is returning to the Bay on June 22nd and 23rd. Come to the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California for a High Times celebration of the best weed in the world. Meet the top cannabis businesses of the Golden State. Hear experts discuss indoor and outdoor growing. Find out about cannabis cuisine. Learn about the exciting new world of concentrates. Enjoy a massive medication area reserved for California medical marijuana patients only. And don't forget our swinging Saturday night concert when the stars come out. But as everybody knows, it's all about the cannabis. On Sunday night, we present the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards for Best Sativa, Best Indica, Best Hybrid, Best Concentrate, Best Edibles, and more. Plus, we honor a living legend of the modern cannabis movement, San Francisco's own Dennis Perrone. That's June 22nd and 23rd at the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush
to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco, drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly, but said some silly thing.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's 13 after, and I was alerted today through my Google News about an article in the Wall Street Journal that's entitled Medical Pot Laws Get Tougher. Now, people that have followed my career know that I'm one of the proponents of something known as the Box Canyon theory of medical marijuana. It's the idea that if you continue to fight for medical marijuana and only medical marijuana, and you continue to leave the healthy people behind, you're going to get cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. The theory is that as more and more medical marijuana states come online, each state has to be more and more restrictive to deal with the excesses that are found in the previous states because they left the healthy people behind, because they only took care of the sick. And of course, the majority of pot smokers are healthy, and they will try to find any loophole they can to get into a state program. Therefore, the next succeeding state programs become stricter and stricter to the point where it actually affects the sick people who really need the medical marijuana. Then, once these restrictive programs have gotten everybody onto a dispensary model and forbidden them from growing their own marijuana, it's only a matter of time before the cannabinoid pharmaceuticals that the big pharmaceutical companies are developing come online. These pharmaceuticals will be as good or better than the raw natural cannabis, and the people in those states that are stuck with dispensaries won't be able to get plants anymore. They'll just get cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. That's the theory, and we've been proposing this theory since late 2008, early 2009, and it seems the Wall Street Journal is starting to notice some of the same things I am noticing. This is the first few paragraphs. They say, backers of medical marijuana bills are proposing tighter restrictions on the drug to allay opponents' fears of widespread use, a shift that is helping such legislation advance in additional states. Illinois and New Hampshire are poised to pass some of the strictest medical marijuana laws in the nation. They would join New Jersey, Connecticut, and Delaware in banning patients from growing their own pot, increasing oversight on commercial growers and distributors, and restricting doctors from prescribing the drug for general pain. Even in Canada, where medical marijuana has been legal since 2001, officials are pulling back. On Wednesday, the country is scheduled to publish rules that will soon ban patients from growing the drug at home. And they failed to mention that Arizona and Massachusetts should also be considered among those states that severely limit the ability of patients to grow their own. In Arizona, there is a 25-mile halo rule that determines if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you're not allowed to grow your own. That takes out most of the people in cities. Once these dispensaries start opening up, almost anyone lives within 25 miles of one if you're living in the city. And in Massachusetts, home growing is banned unless you can show you have a hardship exemption, that you apply, you're too poor, you're too far away from a dispensary, it's too hard on you to be able to go to the dispensary, then you can grow your own. Again, these restrictions in Arizona and Arizona and Massachusetts should put them in the same category as the most recent medical marijuana states to pass, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Delaware, and now Illinois and New Hampshire, seven of the last seven states to have such severe restrictions, as well as the restrictions on chronic pain. That has been touted as the biggest loophole that medical marijuana patients get through is through chronic pain. So in Illinois, they've actually made it a list of 33 specific conditions. And if you don't have any one of those specific conditions, you're not going to get medical marijuana, no matter how much pain you are. Now, if Illinois and New Hampshire passed their laws, they would be the 19th and 20th states to do so. That would mean five of the seven most, this is Wall Street Journal writing here, five of the seven most recent medical marijuana states would ban home cultivation and exclude or limit pain as a qualifying condition. And this is so frustrating because treatment of pain through the use of cannabis is one of the treatments that we have the most scientific evidence for, especially when it comes to neuropathic pain, a pain that is highly resistant to conventional opioid treatments and other conventional analgesics. It reacts very well to cannabis. And we are going to deny all these people a medicine that could potentially help them because we've got to keep trying to separate the patients from the criminals. And these lawmakers continue to tout how strict their bills are. The supporters of the Illinois bill say it would be the toughest law in the nation. The Illinois bill would give law enforcement 24-hour surveillance video of the grows, and it would revoke the driver's license of any patient who refuses a sobriety test during a traffic stop. In New Hampshire, they couldn't get it through their governor without getting rid of the home grow. She bowed to the whims of law enforcement that said having home grow would be a terrible, terrible thing. In New York, the legislature passed a medical marijuana bill, but to get it through the Senate, they've made it much more restrictive. Democratic Senator Dianne Savino said, quote, "We're aiming for a very tightly regulated piece of legislation, which really will be the toughest in the nation, toughest in the nation." All of these new medical marijuana states coming online are bragging about how tough they can make their law. Some of them are so restrictive that you can't even get use of the law. In New Jersey, they've got one dispensary that's opened up since 2009 because of their strict restrictions, and only 126 patients are actually shopping at that dispensary. In a state of what? 9 million people, we're able to serve 126 people. But not Mike Maselli. The Wall Street Journal goes on to talk about Mike Maselli, a 32-year-old auto technician in Jackson, New Jersey. He has Crohn's disease. He had to drive up to Maine to get his medicine because they have reciprocity. They'll accept recommendations from other states. But when he came back to New Jersey with his medicine, he was arrested during a traffic stop for possession, despite the fact he has a medical marijuana card, and he faces up to 2 years in jail. This is what medical marijuana is evolving into. It's just going to get worse and worse and more restrictive as time goes on. It's time to pivot this fight to full legalization for everyone. It's time to do like our guests later on, Cheryl Schumann and January Thomas, and show marijuana use as being something that the privileged do, something that the smart and successful people do. We've got to remove this stigma from marijuana use, or it's going to continue to drag down the efforts of providing medicine to these patients. The time that we can actually count as the medical marijuana era is coming to a close. It is time for the legalization era. And speaking of legalization, I got a little bone here to pick with Arizona. Hope you got something there, Brian. We're going to take a break.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
Have you ever seen a news story like this?
You know, when shit hits the fan, I never really thought about it before, but, you know, it's kind of sudden and violent, and that's kind of what happened this week.
What about the children?
But, you know, I just want to say fuck you guys very much for judging me. You know, for using a plant to do whatever, it's none of your damn business. I don't ask you why you drink your face off. Okay? But the deal is, I harmed no child.
Your one-room schoolhouse of choice. Your one-stop freedom shop. It's the Libro Lounge.
And remember, kids, as always, do your fucking homework.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody, and I hope you're feeling pretty Irie. I'm feeling nice and Irie here at Margarita Studios in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, where the temperature is 109 degrees outside. Good Lord, it's ridiculous. And speaking of our FNA's tour, you know, we're still trying to get the FNA's tour to our first date. The goal now is to make it to Santa Ana on June 21st. That's this Friday. We're hoping to play in Santa Ana for Orange County Normal, Candace Hawes and all those folks out there that are so awesome. And then go from Santa Ana to Richmond to participate in the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, the Bay Area Cup, where I've got a booth and eight passes waiting for me and the band. So we'll see if we can pull that off. But until then, it's time for us to get Irie. We turn things over to our Irie Wednesday music editor and host of Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, Brian the Red.
Okay, well, we've got a tune coming up here from last week's Red Eyes Reggae Flashback show, which was a two-hour special. You can check that out on YouTube. This is Unshakable Race. It's some 80s stuff. This is Love Everyone Everywhere, because it's just great, you know.
We'll be right back.
15 cheeseburgers.
Can I take your order?
Can I take your number?
Can I take your order?
You got any eggs?
Can I take your order?
Man, I don't have any money.
All right, well, all right, go.
Man, watch out!
That there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but...
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
And today we are doing our activist agenda is our Listen to Your Mother segment.
You have reached the Sprint voicemail box.
Oh, we've got a voicemail box. So it seems like our guest isn't ready right at the moment. So we'll hang up on that guest. And we're trying to get Stacy Tice on the line. She is with the Cannabus. And this is a bus, school bus, been painted greens, traveling all across the country, trying to raise awareness for marijuana legalization. And her story, her uncle, we actually interviewed the young man who it was his father who got killed by police while he was standing his ground on his marijuana grow. He was 4 when this happened. I don't know exactly how old Miss Tice was when this happened, but we will try the phone line again, see if we can get her online. We're trying to reach Stacy Tice from the Cannabus, and while on the road, it can be difficult sometimes to get to the cell phone. I totally understand how that goes. So we will just ring Stacy, see if we can get past her voicemail this time. If not, I'll just leave a message, and we'll see what we do from there. We're doing it live like we usually do here at the Russ Belleville Show, so... let's just see what happens. I think we're going to get a voicemail again, though. Apologize for the difficulty in getting the guests together. Yeah, it looks like we're going to get the voicemail. So one moment here while
you
I leave a nice message.
You have reached the Sprint voicemail box of 6, 2, 3, 2, 6, 5.
Thank you. We don't want to give out her number. All right, Brian, if you would please give us some music for break here. I'll find something that we can go to and see if I can get in touch with her through other means. Listen to the Russ Belleville Show here on 420radio.org. We'll be back.
Young boy fresh. Yeah, you know what it is, bro. The young boy fresh. Yeah, you know what it is, bro. The young boy fresh. I'm out here getting dollars. You loving my swag,
back, so I'm popping my collar. Just look off in my closet, the hoes all wanna holler. Cause my frames bear a wang and my hoodies Rolfo Dodger. And my jeans are too, the first and last time you gon' see him today. Boy, you should be taking pointers as you look at me to hate. See me and they be like, hey, I ain't never seen them J's. Forever screaming, fuck the law, riding round cheap and hate. Got your bitch amazed, that's just how the kid do. When she start, caught the blur from my Kashi kick shoes. And you probably did too, got you heated, kinda pissed. Motherfuckers taking pictures every time I leave the crib. They say, the young boy fresh.
Yeah, you know what it is, bro.
The young boy fresh.
Yeah,
you know what it is, bro.
The young boy fresh.
Yeah,
you know what it is, bro.
The young boy fresh.
Yeah,
you know what it is, bro.
Blow the best weed, so I stay high up in the air. Three parts in my hair, say he wildin' over there. Got a thing for them hoodies, so I buy him by the pair. And my pants hang low, cause it's dollars up in there. Gucci Prada, I don't care. Color frames of the jet black.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Russ Belville Show. We're just going to adjust our schedule a little bit because we're unable to connect to our cannabis guest. She might be in an area where there's no cell phone reception. I know what it's like being on the road. So we're going to go ahead and run some of the video that we have for today. And I'm so proud of these next two ladies. January Thomas is also known to many of us in the reform movement as Mrs. Hemp, the wife of Magic Ellison, a.k.a. Henry Hemp, who's a good friend of the show. And they have been seen in their hemp outfits at various events. They'll probably be at the Cannabis Cup here this weekend. And January has become quite the activist for mothers in trying to promote the fact that you can be a good mother and still be a cannabis consumer. And I think this is so important for our cause in getting people on our side. As I mentioned earlier in that Wall Street Journal story, you know, the medical movement can only go so far. It can only lead to cannabinoid pharmaceuticals for the very sick and disabled. We have to normalize, if you'll pardon the pun, we have to normalize marijuana. We have to show people that it's a good thing, that it's not that we're just against prohibition, which we are, but that using marijuana is a smart choice compared to using alcohol or using tobacco or using a lot of these over-the-counter and prescription drugs that we use to go to sleep or to feel alert and so forth. There's so much benefit we could get out of the cannabis plant, but until we remove its stigma, and I believe removing its stigma means giving it props, you know, giving it some positive atmosphere, showing how successful people use marijuana, how fun people use marijuana, how it's a good thing. So these videos coming up, we also feature, in addition to January Thomas, our friend Cheryl Schumann from Cheryl Schumann Marketing, RFMK, the Canisig, and all sorts of all sorts of projects that she's working on. She's been working with the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club as well. Again, trying to class up the notion of being a cannabis consumer. So we'll turn things over, let Brian run these two videos for us. And when we come back, we'll have a little bit of a time for a radical rant. So you're listening to the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for sticking with us.
Tonight at 11, you might call them marijuana moms.
I feel it's a natural pain reliever.
Delivering a message they hope everyone hears.
Cannabis makes me a better mom.
But what's the risk to their family? Tonight at 11.
Next at 11, why an actor and model had to be detained by fellow passengers on a flight to John Wayne Airport.
And a cannabis crusade by local mothers, why they say smoking pot makes them better moms. CBS 2 News at 11 is 60 seconds away.
Well, some moms go the traditional route to cure what ails them, but others are using something much different, something much more taboo, and they say it actually makes them better moms.
It helps many others eat what they need to, yeah.
January Thomas from Koreatown is mom to 16-month-old Zena. But she's no ordinary mom. She medicates 3 to 4 times a day with marijuana, also known medically as cannabis.
I have early onset arthritis, and I'm going to have wrist surgery soon. For me, I'm a medical cannabis patient, so I prefer cannabis over Vicodin or Percocet or Tylenol 3 over, you know, I feel it's a natural pain reliever, and I feel better using it. I feel it's safer on my body.
Marijuana, said Dr. Eden, is used for many reasons.
Like many plants, it can be a medicine or a drug.
January and her fiancé are marijuana activists and believe that education begins at home.
We talk about the plant cannabis. We have a book. It's called It's Just a Plant, and it teaches her how it's medicine. But I don't smoke around my daughter indoors because secondhand smoke is bad.
January thinks it's a misconception that good moms don't use marijuana and that those who do are irresponsible.
Moms that utilize cannabis hold jobs, office jobs, you know, do the PTA.
She says she doesn't smoke joints or use marijuana vaporizers in front of the baby, but she will eat marijuana-infused foods. Like this macaroni and cheese with cannabis oil.
January.
And January's not alone.
People call me the Martha Stewart of marijuana. I was one of the founding members of the National Cannabis Industry Association.
Cheryl Schumann has been medicating with cannabis since 1996, when medical marijuana first became legal in California. Over the years, she's relied on it to fight her cancer, chronic pain, and asthma.
And so I started using it, and literally, I went from being prescribed 27 different pharmaceuticals to one little plant.
She's very involved in the $1.7 billion cannabis industry and educates other medical marijuana patients on the laws and different products available to them, like these vaporizers called Canisix. The company provides them to her for free in exchange for promoting them.
You've got your atomizer together here. The medication is in here. Then you just screw it in. And ta-da, you're ready.
Cheryl says one 30-second inhale from a Canisig is the equivalent to smoking a joint, and there's no secondhand smoke or odor.
If you have someone that can't smoke, doesn't have a vaporizer, or specifically a lot of cancer patients, they literally will choose to use the cannabis in their meal. I think I'm going to try the scallops.
On this night, these Southland moms all met Chef Fred, who prepared seared scallops, pasta, chicken, and strawberry shortcake. All infused with cannabis oils containing THC extracted from the marijuana plant.
So anything that you can make with oil or butter, that can be mashed potatoes, that can be chocolates, that can be cakes, cookies. I have never seen a four-course meal made with cannabis tinctures and oils.
So if you can eat marijuana, vaporize with it, and smoke it, how do you know when you've had too much?
My doctor regulates it. I know what a typical dosage is for me. So it's a very controlled thing, and I feel fine as a mom.
But not everyone thinks what these moms are doing is a good idea.
The problem is it's not FDA approved.
Dr. Charles Sophie is the medical director at the Los Angeles County Department of Children and Family Services. He says there are unknown risks for these marijuana moms.
When it is a part of your day, and it's what your day depends on to get through your day, or you're eating it, or you're baking it, or you're doing something to maintain your day, that's where it becomes an issue. And does it cross over that line of use or abuse or recreational use, and are you entering into a place where it's a safety or risk issue for your family or your child?
But for these women, they say they stay within the laws and talk to their doctors, and each hopes people will think carefully before judging them.
My hope is that they can look at me and say, oh yeah, I can relate to that woman, and maybe I should give it a second look. And she's certainly not one of those drugging people in the alleyway.
Well, certainly a controversial topic. We wanted to know just how January plans to deal with the issue of medical marijuana when her daughter gets older. Well, she says she'd prefer her daughter not use marijuana until she's an adult and her brain is fully developed, and only if it's being used legally.
Tonight at 11, you might call them marijuana moms.
I feel it's a natural pain reliever.
Delivering a message they hope everyone hears.
Cannabis makes me a better mom.
But what's the risk to their family? Tonight at 11 on CBS 2 News.
Beverly Hills mum, Cheryl Schumann, has invited her friends round for an afternoon dinner party. But Cheryl's three-course menu has one very surprising ingredient. This is Come Dine with Cannabis. It's home to the stars, fast cars and lavish lifestyles. But here in downtown Beverly Hills, a group of mums are swapping expensive restaurants for a controversial culinary alternative.
For our event tonight, we're going to be having a cannabis-infused chicken piccata made by a wonderful chef here in Beverly Hills, and we're also doing a cannabis-infused salad, which is going to be really delicious.
Shall we dig in, ladies?
Cheryl began cooking with marijuana after being diagnosed with cancer. Now she hosts dinner parties for other mums with medical issues.
I started doing a lot of research online and found out you can cook with the plant.
Cheryl has invited top Italian chef David Schanhouse to prepare a special meal for a group of friends she calls her marijuana mums.
Cannabis butter, all organically grown. As far as the chicken dish, we have a little organic hemp oil to toss with it, to coat it, you know. Mashed potatoes, we do have the can of butter in there.
That smells great.
We're going to have a salad. We've got red leaf and radicchios and, you know, Mizuna lettuces and baby spinach, so why can't we have a little fresh cannabis?
That's my attitude.
David also eats marijuana-infused meals at home to help with his own ailments.
I've had stomach issues since I was 14, so this makes it so I know I can function.
In California, where marijuana is legal for medical reasons, more and more respectable women are choosing to dine with cannabis.
Tastes really, really yummy. Thank you so much.
Most people assume that you're going to be stoned if you eat food that's infused with cannabis, but it actually depends on what strain that you're using in the cannabis.
Cheryl and her friends have explained their use of cannabis to their children and even believe it makes them better parents.
When I use cannabis, quite frankly, it does make me a better mom because I'm calmer, I'm more rational, I'm not angry, I'm not stressed.
Let's go.
Cheryl's friend, January Jones, a cannabis activist, smokes the drug regularly while caring for her 2-year-old daughter.
You're watching her and I'll go medicate.
Yeah, and then my turn.
All right, mommy will see you in a few minutes, okay?
Smoking cannabis helps me be a better mother. With my early onset arthritis, I wouldn't even be able to pick up my daughter. It makes me a more creative mom, a more relaxed mother.
January has found a way to explain her drug use to her daughter in a storybook.
What's that, mommy? This is a joint. It's made of marijuana. Marijuana?
Oh, yeah.
January and Cheryl insist cannabis should only be used by adults, but some believe it can help children with medical problems, and there is a growing movement to legalize the drug across America.
One night.
By 2016, I estimate that over half the country will have legal cannabis, at least for medical, if not for full recreational.
Da, 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 da.
This one is Blue Jay. Hopefully one day we'll see Beverly Hills cannabis clubs all over so people can go in and have medicated coffee. And I would like to just see it as normal as walking into a Starbucks.
Oh, what fantastic video that we got from the Marijuana Mums. I love that, Marijuana Mums. Hey, we're going to talk about that when we come back. A little bit of time for a radical rant. We're going to talk about marketing marijuana in a positive way. Stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. You know what to do.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs with minted smoke to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department's continuing to put people in jail for sale and use on occasion of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
I've paid my dues.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 points.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
In the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, kudos to our marijuana moms out there, January Thomas, Cheryl Schumann, the moms for marijuana that I've met, you know, Lindsay and Lori, you know, Lindsay Reinhart, Lori Duckworth, you know, great people out there who are continuing on their work as activists, even in the face of being moms and being judged for their cannabis activism. We've done many stories here on the Russ Belville Show about child protective services, about people who get caught up in the law enforcement of the drug war, get caught growing plants or in possession, and they have their children taken away from them. And that's just the most horrifying thing a mother can imagine, is to have, you know, their children taken away and placed with strangers. It's just, it's more trauma on the child than anything the marijuana could have ever caused. And that's why I'm so proud of these women who are standing up and providing a, you know, providing role models and providing an image to the general public. You know, for those of us who are in the movement and we see videos like this, it's not shocking. It's not strange. It's our everyday existence. We know these people. We work with these people. These mothers, these parents that are working so hard and are such good parents by and large. But, you know, when you see these things, try and watch them from the perspective of the 87% of the American people who don't smoke pot regularly and the people who don't really know much about the movement. Their stereotypes and their fears of what about the children are born upon scaremongering that goes back to Reagan, goes back to Nixon, of, you know, welfare moms and abuse and crack babies and all these scary things. And whenever you're talking about children, you can just disconnect the logic circuits in a parent's brain. It's they can't help it. It's the way our DNA is wired to protect our children. Any perceived threat to them is something we react emotionally to. So these images were so effective throughout the 80s, the crack baby scare and, you know, all these terrible things, which, by the way, were never born out. There's no statistics to show, there's no science to show that the children born of women who are addicted to crack cocaine had any worse outcomes than any other children. It was a myth. It was a scare story. So these women, January and Cheryl and Lori and Lindsay and so many others who are taking a stand, Jennifer out there in Portland, Jennifer Alexander, who are taking a stand and putting that risk out there, often get criticized from other mothers. How could you risk your children by being an activist? How could you risk your children by using marijuana? And I they're just so brave to stand up and say, no, this is, I have to do this to make the world better for my children. You know, God forbid any of their children got cancer or any of their children had a spasticity disorder or something that desperately needed the treatment of cannabis, like our little brave Michaela, like little Alex Eccles. These options should be available to all parents, And so these women who are standing up and fighting and making a new image, coming up with a new, classy, respectable image. You know, for a long time in this movement, we've had a treat marijuana like alcohol. You know, marijuana is safer than alcohol. Treat marijuana like alcohol, which is a step forward. But I think now the step these women are taking is more like treat marijuana like wine. See, framing is something I think a lot about. And think of the framing of wine versus alcohol, right? When I said the word alcohol, what did you think? You didn't think of a can of beer. Probably not. You probably didn't think of a glass of wine. You probably thought of alcohol, bottles, shots, whiskey, tequila, liquor. That when you say alcohol, that's what's triggered in a person's mind. Now, when I say the word wine, people's trigger for wine, people's framing and the other items they will think of will be tending along the lines of vineyards and parties and dinner and celebration. Maybe wino, but I don't think most people attribute, you know, Two Buck Chuck or, you know, Mad Dog 2020 as wine. That's the frame of wine is bottles and sophistication and luxury and opulence and celebration. These are the things that are tied in with wine. And so I think a campaign that's treat marijuana like wine is something that is going to benefit us. And especially when we're talking about women, it's when we're talking about the get togethers where, you know, I know many women who will get together with their sisters or their friends over a bottle of wine and talk and laugh and have a good time. And that, I believe, is something that will kind of make flip the switch for a lot of women when they see that the use of marijuana is not a dirty, grubby joint, but a chicken salad, you know, and some nice vapor. I mean, these kind of things can change minds. I remember when my ex-wife got a hold of one of the, I think it was a Cloud vape pen, one of these vape pens, and the switch flipped for her. I could see her say, now this is something I would use. This looks like a some, you know, lipstick case or whatever the hell, mascara case. This looks like something I would use. This looks sophisticated. This doesn't look like stoner. And that I was just so proud of, you know, and that's the direction we needed to take this. It's happening with the oil culture. You know, there's still folks that like their torches and their rigs and dabbing and all that, but older folks that kind of like the dabs, like the concentrates, are starting to gravitate more to these can of cigs and cloud vapes and vape pens and G pens and all these different types of devices because it has a sophistication to it. It's less dirty. It's less crack torchy. It's less hassle. Also, a little easier to keep concealed in some of these states where you don't want folks to necessarily know what you're up to. So kudos to January and Cheryl Schumann for making this a new dawn, a new time of now, where I think we're at the tipping point now where we can show that there's a lot of good in marijuana, and not just the easy out of industrial hemp and what good it is, and not just the easy out of medical marijuana, which is obviously good. But now we can just start talking about marijuana as just a social thing, as just another choice for adults who wish to gather together and have fun. But of course, the tendency is away from that from our legislators. And in Denver and in Colorado, they want to try to shut down the social clubs. Washington State's looking at ways of doing that. It's almost as if they want marijuana legalization, but only if you're smoking all by yourself in your basement. That's what we have been doing, and we're tired of doing it. With legalization comes rights and responsibilities. And I believe if we do this the responsible way, we can show a nice, wholesome, professional, respectful, successful sort of vision for cannabis consumers. And if we do this right, we can turn a whole new chapter here in this legalization battle. We can go from playing defense all the time to playing offense now. We can start talking about the good that can come, not just in our economy and the jobs and the ending of misdirected police resources, but just the societal good of having places where people can gather for using marijuana, something safer than the wine or the alcohol or the beer, places where people can feel good and safe and have a good time. And not contribute to more drunk driving deaths and more of the problems that we have from the other substances. It's good times coming. And we're glad that you're here with us here on 420radio.org and the Russ Belville Show. Been a lot of fun talking to you here. I'm still in Scottsdale, Arizona, making it happen here in the Margarita Studios at the Three Palms Hotel in beautiful Scottsdale, where it's hot as hell outside. Stay tuned. We're going to go into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. And by the way, I got note that our phone line wasn't working. It is now. It's all taken care of. So 971-533-7111 if you want to call in. Had to switch a card. One card wasn't working, so we switched the card, but it's working now. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here in hot Arizona and rainy Portland, Oregon. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.